to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Amen. I'm really excited about the convergence. A couple of weeks back, at first I thought, well, I can't go. It's impossible for me to go. I just started a new job, and you know, it's all pressure and blah, blah, blah. And I went to my boss. I said, listen, I really want to go to this conference. He said, well, then you need to make your targets, which is in my industry. I've got targets that I need to eat on a monthly basis. So I went back to God. I said, God, this man, he doesn't know he answers to you. But he said, I must make targets in order to go to the conference. And so we did, and I'm going. He gave me off. Praise God. I'm very excited, you know. It's going to be really awesome just to see. I couldn't make it last year. But just to see when we get together, fellow brothers and sisters, in unity. That word is very important. Huh? In unity. We're there to see God's face. And just to seek His face together and just to hear what He has on His heart in this season. God does move in seasons. And it's really going to be awesome. So for those of you who are going, it's going to be lucky to spend time with you down there. If we see each other, sounds like it's going to be like a little Newlands. But it's going to be awesome, man. So really looking forward to that. Why are you guys sitting so far back always? Huh? What is up? Do I stink or something? Is it cold? Okay, Gerald. You see, in the front, it's like a hot, huh? It's all right. You can stay where you are. Okay, guys. In preparation for tonight, this week and next week, I'm going to talk about the same topic. It's a two-part series. Talk about spirit, soul, and body. And I just want to say that, you know, in preparation for this, it was actually a bit, not intimidating, but by no means have I myself mastered that what we're going to talk about tonight and next week. It's a process for me as well. And I'm learning as I go along, and I miss it many times, and I ask God, okay, so that didn't work, so go back to the word, you know, how is it supposed to work? So I'm not standing here as a guy that has attained it all and know what this is about. I'm learning, but there are a few truths that God has revealed to me over years, and also in the last couple of weeks through just very anointed teachings that I've listened to, going back to the word, seeing if it's true, realizing it is true. And then God is starting to challenge me now to implement this, not on an ad hoc basis, but on a regular basis. Start living like this on a continual basis. And I really want to challenge us tonight. For some of you, it will be like Christianity 101. For others, it will be 201. Next week, we're going to notch it up again. We're going to go to Christianity Advanced. But I really want to challenge you just to open up your heart, just to open up your persona, your spirit, your mind, your soul, and to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you whatever needs to be revealed. Some of the things may be a little bit radical, but it's based on the Word of God. It's based on truth. And I think it only gets radical when we have to believe something about ourselves that is actually good. Jesus came to give good news, not bad news. You know? And I think it's a bit radical for us if we must start to think about ourselves out of the context that God the Father sees us. That's a very radical viewpoint that God the Father has towards us in Jesus Christ. So I really want to challenge you just to open up yourselves and allow the Spirit to reveal His truths in you. Now, as we all know, Christianity 101, we are made up of three parts: spirit, soul, and body, right? Our body is the thing that we can touch. Go to Ed, I touch him, that's a capsule. Doesn't mean that much because it's going to be glorified, this body, anyway, when we go to heaven. Our soul is, as we also teach in Bible school, mind, will, and emotions. I think it's probably more than that. You know, I think that's a limited view of what our soul is. But you're a bit fast there. Oh, you can put it on. Put it on that slide. That's fine. You just go back, Donnie. There you go. So that is actually the wrong way around. I only realized it now. The spirit should be on the inside, the soul on the outside. Okay? Spirit on the inside, soul on the outside, affection, imagination, memory, reason, conscious, mind, will, emotions. And on the outside, you've got your body, sight, smell, hear, taste, and touch. Don't let that confuse you. Soul is not in the middle. Spirit is in the middle. So this is what we know. This is what we've learned over the years. And 1 Thessalonians 5:23 confirms that we are made up of three parts. It says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So clearly, there's three parts. Spirit, soul, and body. Now, like I said just now, the body is the thing that we can touch. The soul forms our personality. But you know, do you believe that people can touch your soul? They do. On a daily basis, with words. People have spoken something in your life that either made you happy, angry, or sad in the past, or many other feelings that you could register in your soul. That no one physically touched your soul. Not physically. But with words, people touch our soul on a daily basis. And that's where we register sadness, happiness, anger, etc. And you know, I think that as Christians, we don't really understand fully this difference between spirit and soul. And that's why I think it's very important that we just look into it a little bit deeper to understand what is the difference between the two. Because Christians get confused between what it means to live from my soul or what it means to live from my spirit. And even in the English translation, in the Bible, we find sometimes discrepancies when it's supposed to say spirit, it actually says soul, and vice versa. So I can understand that we get to places of confusion here and there. It doesn't happen that often, but I have found it here and there. And when we look at the spirit, our spirit being, the Greek word for that is pneuma. It means the inner man, our spiritual nature. It also refers to the spiritual nature of Christ. When it talks about the spirit of Christ, is the pneuma. The pneuma of Christ. I'm going to refer tonight a lot to pneuma so we can differentiate between soul and spirit. And Jesus clearly differentiates between soul and the physical realm and the spiritual realm in John 3:5-6. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That what is born, which is born of spirit, is spirit. In other words, it's two different things. Flesh is flesh, spirit is spirit. Jesus clearly divides the two. He wants us to understand there's a spiritual dynamic and there's a natural dynamic. It's two different things. Now, you know, it's easy to register what's going on in my body, isn't it? I mean, I know when I'm tired. My body feels it. I need to go lie down. I know when I'm pumped up with energy and I feel I can do a marathon. Yeah? It's easy to register what's going on in our body. It's easy to register what's going on in our soul. It's easy to register when you're sad or angry or happy. It's easy to register that. But it's not always that easy to register what is going on in our spirit, in our pneuma. And again, I believe the reason for that is because we confuse between soul and pneuma, soul and spirit. And this is so vital to understand this concept, because it is the spirit that God communicates to. It is the spirit that God communicates to. Yes, he may communicate to our soul as well. Yes, there may be a physical manifestation through your body, but that is not predominantly how God communicates to us. He communicates to our spirit. You see, the spirit cannot be accessed through that what I experience in my soul or in my body. Our feelings, our emotions, our experiences can be very deceiving. The pneuma can only be accessed through the Word of God. This is how we access our spirit, through the Word of God. I'm going to share a lot more about that later tonight, but also next week. John 6:63 says, it is the Spirit who gives life, and the flesh is no help at all. Interesting, it doesn't say the flesh is some help. This is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. God says, My word is spirit and life. If you want to experience life, you need to understand my word. You need to dwell into my word. You need to go seek life in my words, in what I have spoken. Remember, Jesus is the word. The word became flesh. Yeah? Jesus is the word. It's the word of God that shows us spiritual reality. And if you want to understand your spirit, if you want to perceive what's going on in your spirit, you need to go through the word. You need to believe what the word says about you. Because we cannot rely, like I said, on our emotions or our perceptions. Because they come and go, you know. Sometimes I feel good about myself. The other day, I don't. But that doesn't reflect my spirit. That reflects what's going on in my soul. It's a big difference. So let me give you a few examples. The Word says that we have been made a new creation. The Word says that we will do greater works than Jesus did here on earth. The Word says that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the Spirit that stays inside of me, that has made His dwelling place inside of me. That's huge, man. In other words, that perfected Spirit of Christ is in me. That's what the Word of God says. Despite how you feel, despite your opinions, despite your experiences, that's what the Word of God says. He says the perfected Spirit of Christ is inside of you. Now that's pretty radical to embrace for most Christians. But you see, guys, if we do not understand this truth, if we do not understand that this truth cannot be accessed through our soul and through our body, that this truth first applies to our spirit, then we're going to start to develop this discrepancy inside of us. Because I'm going to seek this truth of having the Spirit of Christ inside of me. I'm supposed to have the Spirit, man, of Christ inside of me. I'm supposed to be a new creation, but I can't see it. I can't taste it. I can't feel it. I don't experience it in my life. And all of a sudden, I start to doubt the Word of God. I start to doubt the authenticity of the Word of God because I see this divergence between my experiences and the Word of God. My experiences go this way, and it feels like the Word of God is going that way. And I see this divergence. And I'm like, man, is the Word of God true? Or maybe I'm just not good enough to cut it. Yeah? That's how many, I'm not talking about unbelievers, I'm talking about Christians. That's how many Christians view themselves. And I think a major reason for that is because they do not understand the difference between soul and spirit. They don't know what applies to the spirit and what applies to the soul. Mr. Mulholland, may I ask you to come and join me in the front quickly, please? And I will give you a reward for your trouble, sir. Okay. So this mirror doesn't lie?
No.
Is it a good thing or a bad thing? I'm kidding, you don't have to answer. Exactly. Thanks a lot, Mr. Mulholland. Let's give him a hand. Here you go, buddy. Thanks for all your troubles. You see, that mirror reflects the truth. That mirror reflects to us who we are. When we go and look at ourselves in the mirror, when we brush our teeth, we see ourselves. And we need to trust what the mirror reflects back. I've never seen myself with my own eyes, neither have any one of us. I only rely on a reflection, right? It's exactly the same with the Word of God. The Word of God is a mirror for us. It mirrors back who we are in Christ Jesus. It shows us, it reflects what our spirits have become in Christ Jesus the day that we embraced Him, the day that we accepted Christ into our lives. And, you know, like Stephen can't question the reflection, so we can't question the reflection of the Word of God when it comes to our spirits. Now, it's interesting, James 1, 23 to 25, I didn't put up there, but it talks about looking into the perfect law of liberty. And he's talking about a guy that looks into a mirror and he turns away and as if he has forgotten, you know, what he looks like. But what that verse or that passage, James 1, 23 to 25, come down to is that if I look into the law of liberty, in other words, into this mirror, what is the law of liberty? So, by the way, it's the good news. It's the gospel. The law of liberty, of freedom. That's what Jesus has come to do. He'd come to set the captives free. So he says that when we look into this law of liberty under the new covenant, we need to trust that reflection. We need to trust that that what Jesus has come to do is actually true. Because the reflection cannot lie. So you know the condition of our spirit. I'm talking about reborn Christians here. I'm not talking about unbelievers. The condition of our spirit, the reflection of our spirit is not based on what we feel and is not based on what we perceive. It is based on what the Word of God says. And that condition is true. That is the condition that I can and should embrace. You know, and as Christians, we must learn how to differentiate between what we were before we got to salvation, what we were before we were reborn, and to what we are now after salvation. What happened at the moment of salvation, the moment that our spirits got renewed, our spirits got reborn, and we're very well versed with scriptures like, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That is true. The wages of sin is death. That is true. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? That is true. But my friends, that is true if we are not reborn. Everything changes when we got reborn. That is the truth that we need to start to embrace. Because we keep on dwelling that I have sinned, I fall short of God's glory. My heart is desperately sick and wicked. This is something that even before I started to delve into this years ago, one of my friends quoted that verse to me in something that she did. And I was like, but that doesn't sit right. And I didn't understand it because I know that this is in the Word. You know? And I went back, I started to research it. And God has revealed to me, that is true if you do not know me. But if you do know me, you've got a clean slate. I've put a new spirit inside of you. I've made you completely new, perfect, actually, says the Word of God. You know, and we need to differentiate between who we were when we were unsaved and who we are now that we know Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is only one verse I'm going to look at this week. Next week, we're going to look at a lot more verses about our spirit and what the Word actually declares over us. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Now, do you have that verse, Daniel? Okay, anyway. So, 2 Corinthians 5:17, eh? Believe me, it's there. Says that we have become a new creation. The old has passed, the new has come. Now, it's not talking about our bodies in that verse. You know, guys, if I always say that if you've got a little fat roll below the navel, it's still okay. But if you've got one above the navel, it's a bit of an issue, you know. And I'm one of those above navel fat roll guys. So, you know, if I got a fat roll above the navel before salvation, you know, the moment that I got reborn, that's not going to disappear. It's still going to be there. Nah. So if it says all things have been made new, it's not talking about my body. It would be kind of nice though, huh? Jesus, I invite you into my life. Boom, six pack. Imagine that. No, it doesn't work like that. It's not talking about our body. It's also not talking about our soul. You know, if we had some math challenges before we got to salvation, we will have math challenges after salvation. You're not going to become an analytical guru just because you come to know Jesus. Or maybe, you know, you are very analytical, you like your boxes and everything, and you don't understand this creativity thing that's going on the outside every Sunday, because you can't do that. You know, you're not all of a sudden become creative when you come to know Jesus. No, 2 Corinthians 5:17 is not speaking about our body and our soul. It's talking about our spirit. It's talking about our spirit. Maybe also just to say, you know, on depression side, I think that's where many people miss it. They don't understand that I've had depression before I met Christ. I met Christ now all of that is supposed to be sorted out immediately. But they're referring to the soul component. They don't see that it's got nothing to do with their soul. 2 Corinthians 5:17 refers to their spirit. Now, the soul and the body can be changed gradually over time, yes. But it's not referring to the instantaneous change that happens when we embrace Christ. And this is what 2 Corinthians 5:17 refers to. He says that when you accept Christ, when you get reborn, your spirit is made new immediately. Immediately. Instantaneously. It is not a gradual process. It's a supernatural act of God that happens now and it lasts for all of eternity. Our soul, our body will be transformed when we see Jesus completely. And that's why Paul can say, I haven't attained perfection yet. He's referring to his soul. He's referring to his body. He's not referring to his spirit. Okay? But 2 Corinthians 5:17, when it says, it actually reads, the old has passed away. In other words, that what is in my past, it's gone. I don't need to worry about that anymore. I don't need to care about that anymore. It's gone. Behold, the new has come. Present tense. Not the new is going to come. Not the new will be perfected in some way in the future. He says the new has come. Now it's here. God has given me a new spirit now in the present tense. So our spirits at salvation, it's totally, utterly, permanently changed into a new thing. And this is an important point, my friends, to understand the difference between soul and spirit and body here. Because if we think that 2 Corinthians 5:17 relates to my soul and my body, and it will be instantaneously changed, and I'm going to sit with a lot of inner struggles. My faith is going to be challenged. I'm going to start thinking that the word is not true, that it doesn't apply to me. I'm going to doubt the goodness of God because I want to see, I want to taste, I want to experience this newness in my soul, in my body, and I don't. And that's when Christians start to doubt God. Because they do not realize it refers to their spirit, not their soul. The soul is a gradual process. The body is a gradual process. But the spirit is an instantaneous change. So it's imperative to understand that the change happens in the spirit, and from there it flows over into the soul. From the spirit it flows into the soul, and from my soul it flows into my body and my circumstances around me. Yeah? Okay. James 2:26. Just before we get there, remember that God is a God of life. He's not a God of death. God has come to give life and to give it in abundance for all of his creation. For those who are willing to follow the sacrifice and embrace the sacrifice that he has given unto mankind, his son Jesus Christ. And this life that is available to us can only be appropriated. This life can only flow when we actually embrace this truth. If we block this truth, that life will be blocked. And that I'm going to talk about a lot more next week as well. James 2:26. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Now, usually we focus on the B part of that verse. I actually just want to focus on the A part. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead. In other words, it says the body, if it doesn't have a spirit, is dead. So what gives life to the body? Spirit. Take out your jackets. It's coming. Yeah? It's the spirit that gives life to the body. That's what happened 6,000 years ago in the Garden of Eden. God takes Adam. No, sorry. God takes dust particles and he creates a body. And he names him Adam. And there Adam lies. Eyes closed, dead. No breath, nothing. Black, pitch black. He doesn't know he exists. It's just a body lying there. And then God comes. And he says, I won't do it. I won't go there. I shocked you, I know. Just want to make sure you guys are still awake. Steph, no feelings, buddy. Don't worry. So here God comes and he breathes into Adam. He takes his own breath and he gives it unto Adam. And at that moment, Adam's eyes open up and he starts to live. It's the spirit that gives life, says the word of God. When God breathed his pneuma, his spirit into Adam, that lifeless body came to life. It's the spirit that gives life. It's not your soul. It's the spirit. And we must understand, my friends, that everything that we will ever need is already in our spirit. God has given you everything to overcome, to be victorious, to move from strength to strength. He's already given you. It's in your spirit. We need to learn how to access that. And how to access that on a continuous basis. The word of God says that our spirit is complete. It says that our spirit is eternal. It says our spirit is mature. It says that our spirit is perfected. Can I repeat that? It is mature. It is eternal. It is perfected. And it is complete. A third of your being is perfect already. Did you know that? The other two still needs work. And it is a gradual process. And that will be perfected when we see Jesus. But a third of your being is already perfected in Christ Jesus. That's why Hebrews 12:23 can talk about the spirits of just men made perfect. Spirits of just men who's been made perfect. And as a reborn believer, you must understand that the spirit that you have now is the spirit that will go with you into all of eternity. You're not going to get another spirit when you meet Jesus. It's not as if Jesus has given you a D or E class spirit now, and when you see him, you get a triple A, double plus spirit in heaven for all of eternity. Right? That's not how it works. The spirit that you have now is the spirit that will go with you into all of eternity. Like I said, I know I'm repeating myself, but I want to hammer it home. I want us to understand this. Our soul and our bodies will be perfected when Jesus comes. But our spirit is already perfect. Our spirit is already complete. Our spirit is already mature. Our spirit is already perfect. It's spotless. It is pure. And it will last for all of eternity. Don't know about you, but that makes me excited, man. Knowing that that life-giving power is already inside of me, I just need to learn how to access that and live from that on a continual basis. And that's what we're going to focus on, actually. This is a whole massive intro to where I actually want to get to. Yeah? That's why I needed two sermons for this. The perfected Spirit of Christ dwells in you. So, how can we say that, you know, I'm going to get a newer or more perfect spirit when I meet Jesus? His spirit is complete and perfected already. And that's the spirit that's inside of us. Now, just on this point, I know I'm not going to spend time on this. I'm just going to mention it. Next week, I'm going to spend 2 minutes on this because I don't believe it's worth a debate. We get the Calvinist and the Menian view on salvation. Calvinists believe you can't lose your salvation. Menians believe today you're saved, tomorrow is not, because it's based on your works. I'm going to touch on that next week, just from a biblical point of view. I don't like it when people say I follow Calvin. I don't like it when people say I follow the Menian worldview. I just want to follow Jesus. Okay, so let's get back to the word, see what it says, and then we move on. Because I find that that doctrine actually saps life from people. It doesn't give life. Okay, but we need to address it. I'm going to spend 2 minutes on it next week. But guys, every form of life, every form of victory, every form of overcoming power that you will all, that you need is already available to you. I want you to know that. You don't need more. You've got it all already. It's in your pneuma for all of eternity. And a lot of our Christian life is about learning to believe who we are in Christ Jesus. Now, dear God, let's leave it there for a minute, buddy. I see they want to get tired. Eh? Now, we got to martyr them a little bit here, you know. Right? So the Christian life is about learning to believe what God has made us. It's to believe what God has made us. Guys, we must look into this mirror, the perfect law of liberty, and we must believe what it says about us. Our spirit has been perfected. It's mature and it's complete and it's going to last for eternity. You do not have an E-class spirit. You've got a triple plus A, double A spirit already available in you. Yeah? Believe what the mirror says. Believe the reflection. It does not lie. It is the truth for all of eternity. We have to live from a pneuma if we want to live in this victory, in this overcoming power. Now, this is why the soul component is so important as well. Our soul component is very important to understand. Because if our soul component is not in agreement with the Word of God, it's got the power to cut off that life. It's got the power to cut off the provision that God has already made available in our spirit. When our soul looks into the perfect law of liberty, when it looks into this mirror and says, I refuse to believe that. I refuse to believe this reflection. This is not applicable to me. Then I can assure you the life-giving power that God has made available to you and to me will not flow. The soul will cut that off. When God wants His life, His power to flow from our pneuma, the soul is a vital component of our being. Now, people, yeah, just on the by the way, now people may think I'm not talking a lot about the body tonight. Obviously, we need a body; otherwise, we won't be able to see each other. You know, so I understand the body's got its part, but I'm just focusing on the spirit and the soul for now. All right. So, if I'm faced with a particular challenge in my life, I'm going to give you a few examples of my own life where I missed it completely. Let's say I'm faced with a particular business challenge in my life. I've got issues in my business that needs to be resolved. And my soul looks at the natural. It looks at what I experience. It looks at the bank statements. It looks at what I see and what I feel and all of that. And it decides that that is my natural, or that is my reality. I'm embracing that reality. Then my soul partners with my natural circumstances and I'm locking out the miracle working power that is available in my pneuma, in my spirit. Every one of us, my friends, you're reborn, you're sitting here reborn, you've got miracle working power available to you on a daily basis. It's up to us whether that's going to be released or not. Who's really getting cold? Okay, more than two, Devil. Thanks, buddy. See, even Devil is sitting bibbering there in the background. I thought you were faking it. All right. Okay, we're almost there, guys. Page and a half. So that's about 2 hours. So, so it will not flow to my natural circumstances because my soul will not allow it. Okay, but the inverse is true as well. If my soul decides to partner with my pneuma, if my soul looks into this mirror and believe that it is true, that I am who Jesus says I am, and I start to appropriate the promises that God has made available to me, then I'm going to start to see that flow over into my body and into the circumstances around me. I must learn, I must teach, and I must train my spirit, my soul, to get in line with the Word of God. I must train my soul to look into this mirror and actually see it's not a dirty mirror. This is a very clear mirror. You know? If I look in a mirror, you know, I don't want to look like Robert. No offense. Because I am who I am. Robert is who he is. When Robert looks into a mirror, he doesn't want to look like me. He is who he is. We must learn to trust the reflection. Our soul must start to trust the reflection of the Word of God. And when our soul and our spirit join up, you know what? Our body doesn't have a chance. Our circumstances doesn't even have a chance. It's two against one. So, remember James 2:26. It says your spirit gives life. It's not your soul. It's not your body. It's your pneuma. It's your spirit that gives life. We need to learn from our, we need to live from our pneuma, not our soul. The soul, I won't say the soul gives death. It's the spirit that gives life. But the soul doesn't really give life. But it does have the power to cut that life off. Now, just from my own experiences, when I was in London, I started my own trading company. I started to trade for myself, traded stocks and currencies and equities and gold, oil, indexes. And I wasn't bad at it. I started trading end of 2007. That's when the markets crashed. Brilliant time for a beginner to start trading. Start learning about markets. I mean, I've never seen such volatility in the markets my whole life. And there was a lot of financial pressure. And I made some stupid mistakes, guys. Thank you, Jesus. That's why I need you. You know, you can forgive me for my mistakes. And made some stupid mistakes. And I put my me and Lorraine under a bit of financial pressure with the decisions that I've made. But I knew that I can do it. I knew that I can be a good trader. It's something I can't explain. It's just knowing. It's just knowing inside of me. But after a while, I had excellent money management strategy. So if I made losses, it was small losses, wasn't big losses. After a while, I was pretty much flat. And our monthly expenses, obviously you still need to pay rent, food, all of that. So that started to eat away at our capital. And after a while, I started to look at my natural circumstances. I started to look at what is going on in the bank balance. I was starting to look at how am I going to provide for my wife, because I understand that it is my responsibility as a husband, all of that. But I allowed fear to grip my heart. I allowed fear to take possession of me and to look at my circumstances, and I completely cracked up. I couldn't make it. I sank. Now, I repented of it, you know, and the Word says that God makes all things work together for good to those who love Him or called according to His purposes. I can use that experience now where I find myself in my current position to position myself in a very competitive way. It was a fantastic experience for that. But you know what? I missed that boat because I allowed fear to grip my heart. I know I can go back and I can do well. I know it. But that boat has passed. That season is gone. Because I allowed fear to grip my heart. And God showed me through that, you know, it was very much like Peter at that stage. Peter, guys, the man walked on water. You can say what you want about him. He walked on water. He's a legend. The guy stepped out of the boat. It's a kilometer down probably in that sea. It's dark. I don't know, sharkies, you know, all these things are there. Big whale can Jonah him, you know. He doesn't know, but he steps out of the boat, the legend. And he starts walking on water. Why? Because his eyes is fixated on Jesus. There's a massive storm going on around him, but his eyes are fixated on Jesus. And he walks, and he walks. I don't know how far, but he walks. And then he turns his eyes away from Jesus. He turns his eyes to the massive storms. He probably saw a big whale underneath him, you know, and he allowed fear to grip his heart. What happened? He sank. His soul didn't partner with his spirit. If we want to bring it back to a modern day context. His soul didn't partner with his spirit. And that for us is a challenge, my friends. This is what a lot of our Christian life is about, is learning to believe that, learning to embrace that. That our soul, or teaching our soul how to partner with our spirit. I mean, other examples of where I missed it, obviously was sickness, big time. I'm a big pilliki guy, you know. Got a headache, I pilliki it away. But, you know, what I've realized that does is actually steals my faith. Steals from me. You know, I just want to mention, you know, guys, it's okay to admit your reality. It's okay. Just don't embrace your reality. We've got this one friend. Yes, I love her to bits, but she can irritate me so much. When she's not here in this church, she's a different congregation. And I really love her. She's an amazing woman. I've got very good friends of Lorraine and I. We will go to her someday, you know. And her eyes are swollen up, man. I mean, she's just sinuses, blocked nose, sneezing. She the whole time she walks around there in the house. I'm like, yes, lady, but you're sick, man. And she's like, don't say that. I'm not sick. I'm not sick. Don't speak such negative words over me. I'm healthy in Jesus' name. And I'm like, but youth went through a packet of Kleenex in 30 minutes. And you cough this place to sickness. How can you say you're not sick? You're sick, man. No, I'm not. I'm like, oh my goodness. I'm going to lose it here. Yeah? Guys. And that's what I love about David. David could admit his reality. He says, listen, this is where I find myself. I am, man, I'm just fed up. You know, I'm depressed. I am angry. Whatever. God, I fear. But you know what? I'm not going to accept this reality. And this is a challenge for us as well. We will be faced with many challenges in our life. The question is, are we going to accept those challenges and allow fear to dictate our decisions? Are we going to allow the Spirit of God, the Word of God, to dictate our life? Are we going to live from our soul, or are we going to live from our spirit? Ah, you know, by the grace of God, we did get it right once. For instance, children. When Lorena and I decided to get pregnant, I know Billy's got an issue when I say we got pregnant. So just for Billy's sake, I'm going to say when Lorraine got pregnant. It happened at a time when I actually didn't have a job, and Lorraine also didn't have a job. And there were no immediate or medium-term outlook job-wise for us. So naturally, it didn't make any sense to go for a child at that stage. And I am a very analytical guy. I like finances to be in order. You know, I like the bank statements to clop and everything. And it didn't that time at all. Oh, we just felt this is the time. We should go for children. And then we went to the Word. Well, actually, Lorraine more than me. Went to the Word and brought back promises. One of those promises is the children are not a curse. They're a blessing. That means that when children come, your provision will not be cursed. It will be blessed. The Word also says that the children of a righteous man shall not beg for bread. You know, and we decided to stand on those promises. We decided we're not going to go on what we see. We're going to stand on those promises. And from that day, guys, well, from our children, child came. I say children in this, you know, in faith. Then we haven't had a lack of provision whatsoever. We still eat of the fat of the land, as you can see. Yeah? We're being provided for in abundance. I can't retire today, but that's not my goal anyway. You know, I just stand on the word of God. It says there will be abundance. There will be provision. You don't worry about that. You'll get children. There's a blessing on that. There's no curse on that. That's where our soul decided to partner with our spirit. The word of God. That's how what we see is actually going on in our spirit. I can also choose not to embrace this. In that same scenario, I can choose not to believe it, not to believe there will be abundance of provision. And you know what? That provision will be cut off because my soul is partnering with my reality, my immediate reality. It's up to us. It's up to us how we train our soul. Our soul in line with the Spirit, with the Word of God or not. You know, that's why God also says that we should not fear, my friends. Because if we fear, we allow our soul to partner with our natural environment. And that's when we start to cut off the miracle working power in our lives. But if we choose not to fear, if we choose to stand on His promises, despite my reality, I admit my reality, but I do not embrace it. When I choose to stand on the promises of God, then I acknowledge God as my provider. I acknowledge God as my healer. I acknowledge God to be my protector. And my soul gets in line with the mirror, starting to believe what the mirror is saying. And then, the Spirit of God can flow into my soul and from there into my body and into my natural environment around me. So, you know, we obviously want to know, but how do I actually do this? How do I actually align my soul with my spirit? How can I make my soul partner with my spirit on a regular basis? How can I assure myself that I will live from my pneuma continuously? And what does the mirror actually say about my pneuma? I mean, what are the truths about my pneuma that I may not even know about? This is what we're going to talk about next week. If you want to know, come. Just for now, Steph, maybe you can do your magic. Can we just pray? Father, I just thank you that we can sit together and hear your word. I just thank you, Lord God, that you are life and that you are life in abundance. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you have come, Lord God, to give us good news, not bad news. Your news are good. News is good in Christ Jesus. I've been made a new creation. A third of my being is already perfect. Thank you for that, Lord God. That's a supernatural act. And even though we may not feel it, Lord God, even though we don't experience that on a continuous basis, we just come and we admit, Lord God, that that is the soul portion of us that is still being renewed, that is still in the process of being made perfect. And it's only when we see you, Jesus, that that will be perfect. But I thank you, Lord God, that our feelings, our emotions, our experiences, Lord God, is not the truth. Your word is the truth. Your mirror is the truth. And it says that our spirit have attained perfection in Christ Jesus. You've already made us mature. You have already made us complete. We thank you for that. We thank you for that, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that you have given us this incredible, incredible gift. A renewed spirit. Can we maybe just stand? I think it's challenging for us to come to that place where we actually admit, you know what, in Christ Jesus, there's a portion of me that's already been perfected. It's difficult for that spirit, or for that soul part to embrace that truth. But I believe that when we actually embrace anything less than that, then we're sinning against God. Because if God says that I've placed the spirit of my son inside of you, and we say it's not so, we call God a liar. And we need to repent of that. And I believe there are people here You desire to live from the spirit, not your soul. You desire to come to that place of continuous, life-giving, miracle power of God, His love, His grace, His love, life just flowing from your spirit continuously. Where your mind does not interfere, where your soul does not interfere, where your experiences does not interfere. And I just believe that God is saying that He will deliberately put challenges over our paths so that we may learn how to do this. So that we may learn how to live from our spirit and not our soul. Where we will learn how to stand on the truth of the Word of God and not what we experience, not what we feel, not what makes us happy or sad, but that we will, like David, stand on the Word of God every single day. Until we see His Spirit flowing from us in a miraculous way. God is bringing us back to the Acts Church. He's bringing us back to that place where we live from the Spirit and not our soul. Father, I just thank You for every man and woman here and who's got a desire to live from their spirit and not their soul. And I just see, well, all eyes are closed. If you are standing here and you just feel, man, I live way too much from my soul. I need to start living from my spirit. And I really want to apply this, man, on a regular basis. Can you just quickly lift your hand? Father, I thank You, Lord God, for every hand that is lifted. I thank You, Lord God, that You reveal Your truths in every soul here in the name of Jesus. I thank You, Lord God, that every mind, will, and emotion will come in line with the truth of the Word of God in Jesus' name. We declare that. Every soul here will be in line with the truth of God. I thank You, Lord God, that You have given us the keys to unlock in the heavenly realms, Lord God, and we just unlock that spiritual truth, Lord God, to be known right now in Jesus' name. To be embraced and believed in the name of Jesus. We're satisfied with nothing less than that, Lord God. With nothing less than that. Lord God, we come in repentance of where we have believed our soul and exalted our soul above Your Word. We come, Lord God, we say we're sorry, we ask for forgiveness of that. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that Your blood covers us. And we make a deliberate decision tonight to stand on Your Word. Every promise that You've given us, we will embrace it in the name of Jesus. Lord God, every challenge that we are faced with, Lord God, we will admit it, but we will not succumb to it, Lord God. Because we will stand on Your Word. And Your Word gives life, Lord God. I thank You for Your Spirit that gives life, Lord God. For all of eternity. Teach us Your ways, Jesus. Teach us Your ways. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I'm just going to ask the band to minister a song to us. Then after that, just open the floor for prayer. Just while Stefan and the rest of the band is joining Stefan, let's just continue to worship God. We'll take it from there.